Stay away from me, 'cause I'm in my sin. Stay away from me, everybody, 'cause I'm in my sin. If this joint is raided, somebody give me my gin. Don't try me, nobody, 'cause you will never win. Yeah, don't try me, nobody, 'cause you will never win. I'll fight the army and navy. Somebody gives me my gin. When I'm feeling high, I don't have nothing to do. Oh, when I'm feeling high, I don't have nothing to do. Just fill me full of good liquor, I'll sure be nice to you.
Okay.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another lovely day here in Hawaii. Listen, I have a real lucky day today. I got Dr. Keali'i Akina. And he, as you know, some of you know, that he's actively engaged in a campaign for OHA trustee at large. And
good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm glad you accepted and decided to come by and join me. So, what's going on with the campaign, first of all, and then tell us a little bit about OHA and why did you you have this interest in running? It is a bureaucracy. Why do you want to dare go into a bureaucracy?
Well, I know your listeners are well tuned into fighting bureaucracy. And right at the top, everybody knows that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs does good things for the Hawaiian people, but it also affects everybody out there. If you're a resident anywhere in the state of Hawaii, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs affects you because it's one of the fastest growing government agencies. It's powerful, and virtually any decision involving land or air or sea or people can be affected by the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. Did you know that, Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a little bit of background about it. OHA, as we call it, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs,
was set up in 1978 because there is a base of wealth that our state manages called the ceded lands. That was land that used to belong to the Kingdom of Hawaii, and it belongs to the it became land that was ceded over or belonged to the federal government during territory years. So when we became a state in 1959, it was set aside to do good for everybody. And one of those purposes was to help the Hawaiian people. Mm-hmm. So OHA was set up in 1978 to administer it. And that's all fine and dandy, but here's the big problem that everybody needs to know. The Office of Hawaiian Affairs has done a lousy job during this time of making sure that the needs of Hawaiians are met with that. There are Hawaiians today that are going without what they deserve, and that's partly because of the mismanagement of this money. And I'm being polite when I say mismanagement, mm-hmm. because there are other things that you yourself have investigated.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, too, is that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs has interfered with the affairs of everybody else in the state, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. The main thing, Carol, is this. As your listeners are listening, I hope they realize that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs is a state government agency, and its leaders are elected by the voters. When you go to the polls on November the 8th, you vote for the trustees.
Mm-hmm.
And I am privileged to be one of the finalists in the race that's going on for the statewide trustee called Office of Hawaiian Affairs Trustee at Large. I am one of two candidates who are going head-to-head. The other one is the incumbent, Haunani Apoliona. And there's me, and everybody gets to vote for me if they want to,
mm-hmm.
or the incumbent. And I'd like to share a little bit today as to why they may consider voting for Akina.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've watched Apoliona over the years, and she seems to be a dynasty, but unapproachable. You really don't see it. For myself, I've engaged in many issues that relate to or governed by OHA, where OHA would have some influence.
Well,
I've never received a simple note of inquiry or anything. And I'm not saying that they are obligated to give me attention. But when you see what I do and the work that I do, and sometimes it is directly involved with OHA or matters that they govern and regulate and fund. And to date, not nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk about my opponent, and I don't have to, because mm-hmm. what we'll do is we'll talk about the record.
Right.
We'll talk about what has happened in OHA over the last 20 years and why it has to change. And one of the things that has happened is that OHA has wasted a huge amount of money on pursuing something the Hawaiian people don't want.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is spent, on record, $33 million and possibly $50 million pursuing a race-based nation. Now here's the problem. OHA is a government agency using public funds to try to create a separate race-based nation here in Hawaii. That's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a waste of money that could have been spent on meeting the real needs of Hawaiians for housing or for economic development or jobs. But also, Carol, did you know that every poll and survey OHA has taken shows that the Hawaiian people don't want them to be spending their money on pursuing a race-based nation? And yet the trustees have done that.
Why do they engage in such behavior, knowing that it's going to be subjected or possibly impacted by challenges in the courts, the federal courts,
well,
because of the unconstitutionality that people may believe that is happening?
Because a lot of people realize that out here in Hawaii, we somehow come under the radar of the United States Constitution.
Oh, we fly low. And
that's right. We do things that we think we can get away with. For example, our state legislature in 2012 passed a law called Act 195
mm-hmm.
that said there shall be this role commission, a Native Hawaiian role commission, that will set up this tribal role of people who will be able to participate in a new government. And here's the criteria. One, they have to have Hawaiian blood. So anyone who doesn't have Hawaiian blood, like you, Carol, mm-hmm. can't participate in it. Number two, they have to swear an oath. They have to affirm this affidavit, which is, quote, "I affirm the unrelinquished sovereignty of the Hawaiian people." Can you
mm-hmm.
believe a state
right.
government agency requiring that? And third, they have to pass a test of cultural relevance that a commission of five commissioners determines. I wonder if I'm culturally relevant to the Hawaiian people because I'm challenging OHA. But when that was set up, with state funds run by a state agency, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, and it's absolutely prejudicial. But not only is it racially prejudicial and unconstitutional, Native Hawaiians don't want that. And, mm-hmm. and this is the secret that OHA has been hiding from people. They've done their own surveys since 1978 all the way through 2015 that show that the Native Hawaiian people don't want OHA to be pursuing this path, and yet the trustees have continued to waste money on it.
Yeah, I'm always puzzled because, as you have pointed out, it is a state agency, a state agency of Hawaii, state of Hawaii. So everything that on the title, the Civil Rights Act, all those rules apply. So how is it that they can be a state agency? And we all, every citizen has a right to that's registered to vote in the elections.
Well, that's
but
the
then,
problem right there.
Right.
People are not exercising their right. You see, if we all mm-hmm. realize it's on everybody's ballot, if we all realize that it's everybody's responsibility to determine who the trustees of OHA are, we would vote, and we'd vote for people who believe in the Constitution, who believe in racial equality, who believe in advancing the Hawaiians rather than pursuing politics. But guess what? Only 40% of the people who go to the polls vote on their OHA ballot.
I believe that there's a greater conspiracy here at hand.
That's the way it's
the way it's the way it's set up, because you cannot be a state agency and advocating civil rights and doing things according and adhering to the Constitution of these United States, and then in turn you go and have a separate election or roll call, as you call it. It's going to do two things. Set us up, as I've pointed out, for a challenge, legal challenges. So it's being disingenuous on the part of whoever it is behind the curtain. I get that sensation that it is just a game of sort, another way of manipulating the real purpose of what really needs to be done to address the Hawaiian people and addressing what was lost or what is rightfully theirs. I don't think it'll ever happen.
Well, you know, the purpose of OHA is not being fulfilled. OHA was set up to use the vast wealth that is part of the Hawaiian Trust, mm-hmm. part of those ceded lands that once belonged to the kingdom, to meet the real needs of Hawaiians for housing, for education, for mm-hmm. jobs and health care. But instead, it's been wasting it on a political scheme.
Mm-hmm.
There's been more than enough land and money to take care of the needs of Hawaiians. So it's not the absence of that. And that's what I think we all want.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Hawaiian or not, you want the money being used for the right purposes. Because if you're Hawaiian, you definitely want Hawaiians taken care of. And if you're not Hawaiian, you don't want to be stepping over Hawaiians in Ala Park or homelessness and all of this, because it affects everybody. But you used the word conspiracy, and mm-hmm. I'll leave that to you, because you're the expert.
I stand behind it.
what I'll say at the very least is this, and I'm not in disagreement with
right.
you, but it's about land and power. It's about land and power. You see, if the Office of Hawaiian Affairs and those government cronies get their way and have this quote-unquote federally recognized nation, they will be able to have some benefits that the rest of us don't get. Let me tell you what those two benefits
mm-hmm.
are. Number one, they'll be able to do with their land whatever they want. They'll have sovereign immunity. So, for example, down there on Kaka'ako waterfront, you know, down the ocean side
yes,
of
sir.
Ala Moana, where they now own 31 acres.
The old landfill.
Just beyond the landfill. You know where Fisherman's Wharf
is? Oh, I'm familiar with Fisherman's Wharf.
That's right.
Kaka'ako, Kiwalo Basin.
You're well known for snooping around on land and digging up things mm-hmm. that people don't want to reveal. We go from Fisherman's Wharf and keep going toward the west side, Eva, down to the landfill, Kaka'ako Waterfront Park.
Mm-hmm.
All that 31 acres is owned by the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. And here's what they want to do with it. They're on record. They've gone to the legislature. Before they had that land, their motto was Malama the Aina, take care of the land. Don't overdevelop it. Once they got that land, it became highest and best financial use.
So yes.
Their plan was to build towers, a wall of towers on that land,
mm-hmm.
twice the height of the zoning limit of Honolulu, and this is on the ocean side of Ala Moana Boulevard. It would block the view. It would develop this huge Hong Kong-type wall, and they wanted to do that. They went to the legislature, and the legislature shot them down. And so this is why they redoubled their efforts and went after federal recognition, because if they are a separate entity, a sovereign country recognized by the federal government, guess what? They don't have to go by the zoning laws of Honolulu County or the state of Hawaii.
They become an independent state entity, but separate from the United States. It's very convoluted.
Well, that's a huge financial benefit to the people in power, and it's not going to trickle down to the real people in the street. Now, there's a second thing that we know they want. They used to promote the Akaka Bill. That was a bill in Congress in order to get this federal recognition. With the passing away of Senator Inouye and the retirement of Senator Akaka, it pretty much has just sat there. Nothing has happened. But in the last version that OHA went after, they stuck in a clause. They said if they get this federal recognition, they will have the right to conduct gambling industries in all states where there's gambling. So they would have had the immediate right to do a nationwide 48-state gambling operation. And when Hawaii would open up to gambling, and they would lobby for that, they would be the exclusive franchisor of the gambling industry in Hawaii. Can you imagine the power of these two things? Number one, being able to control land without zoning because it's sovereign, and number two, control the gambling industry. Now, if you believe OHA is filled with really nice trustees who will self-sacrifice for the good of all humanity with all that money, well then, go for putting them in the existing trustees in power again and trust them. But if you believe in human nature, like you and I do, and you'll believe what Lord Acton said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And what we've seen with OHA is something that the Hawaiian people should be afraid of, and all people in the state, a growing power agency run by trustees who need to be replaced. And that's why we're saying everybody should cast their vote for an OHA trustee and vote for new trustees. And that's why I'm challenging in the general election. You'll see my name right there under trustee at large, Akina, because it's time for the old power guard to go.
Now, I want to attempt to dissect this and simplify, go to the basic level of in using your assistance. We have OHA, a state agency, that its responsibility, too, is to look out for the native people.
Yes, that's its primary responsibility.
But then you have HCDA, when I say this conspiracy, the Hawaii Community Development Authority. But none of the profits or benefits that are gotten from the existing deal is really benefiting the native people. Then on the other hand, they say, well, we want everybody to vote and participate in OHA, those that are non-native as well as the native. But then we see the high rises, we see the Kakaako and Kiwalo Basin given to a private organization, as far as like Howard Hughes Corp. I'll think of it in a minute. But you have all that. When does the money get back to the native people that they're supposed to be looking over the guardianship or responsible?
Well, I sense your heartbeat here. You want what's due to all people at the bottom level to get to them. And you've mentioned different entities. You've mentioned agencies and private development and so forth. I'll leave it to you to talk about whether there's a conspiracy between them. But what I'll confine my comments to is the fact that in the most recent audit of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, when compared to their mission of making sure that the wealth gets to meet the needs of Native Hawaiians, it was found that an amount far too small was getting there, that for the wealth that they have, they're not accomplishing the needs. And let me give you an example, and this is a little bit of a shell game. The state constitution says that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs manages the monies from the ceded lands. Those are lands now that have the airport on it, the university on it. So about 20% of the revenues from those lands, I don't know if people know this, goes to the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. That's a huge amount of money year in, year out. But there's another group where the Hawaiians benefit, and that's the third or fourth largest land estate called the Hawaiian Homelands. And that's supposed to provide homes for Hawaiians. Well, did you know, Carol, that since the 1920s when that land has been there, Hawaiians haven't been getting the homes that they need? There is a waiting list of 27,000 people on that list, 24,000 waiting for residential lots, 3,000 waiting for farming lots. And people are dying in the hundreds every year waiting to get on the Hawaiian homelands. And this is what the Office of Hawaiian Affairs says. They say, that's not our kuleana. That's not our business, because that's another agency.
And who is that agency?
That's the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. Now, legally, OHA is correct.
Mm-hmm.
OHA is correct that the Department of Hawaiian Homelands administers the Hawaiian homelands. And so when they point their finger to Hawaiian homelands and say, it's not our fault, we trustees of OHA are not the reason there are 27,000 people on the waiting list, they're legally correct. But morally, and if we look at the actual mission of OHA put in the 1978 Constitution, they're the primary agency that's supposed to advocate for the welfare of the Native Hawaiians.
Mm-hmm.
So have they been advocating in such a way that they have done what's necessary to stop the 27,000 waiting list and the hundreds who are dying on that every year? Absolutely not. They have a moral obligation. They actually, I would argue, according to Section 10 of Hawaii Revised Statutes, have a constitutional obligation to do something about it. And what's the major reason that people are waiting on the waiting list? Hawaiian Homeland says we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the financing in order to build the roads and the plumbing and the electricity and so forth. But do you know that during the period of the last 20 years, OHA has wasted between $33 and $50 million in political schemes trying to get race-based nationhood? Do you know what that money could have done if used effectively to finance infrastructure? It could have eliminated that need. And so I'm terribly concerned about that. But let me go to something. I want to ask you a question, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
You've learned that Hawaiian homelands have been going to people who aren't supposed to get it, because you've kind of snooped around on that property.
Wait, now, if I answer this, you promise I'm not going to get hit over the head and my house burn again?
Well, you've already got hit over the head and your car fire-bombed, because you were... one of the travesties is this, that while Hawaiians are waiting and dying on the waiting list of this Hawaiian homelands,
mm-hmm.
that OHA, saying it's a separate agency, does nothing about, there have been people who've gone to the top of the list and have been able to get homes as well as lots in which to do businesses, such as illegal dumps and
mm-hmm.
so forth. And you know more about that than I do, and that's why you got beat up investigating that.
And we don't want to talk about it in a superficial fashion. It's true. Everything that I was doing related directly to the Hawaiian homelands.
Yes.
And it was directly. I was even assaulted on Hawaiian homeland. And to date, not an aggressive, not one single investigation on the part. And also, the agents for the Department of Hawaiian Homeland was involved directly taking bribes, as one person described, that gave me a letter that outlined how he paid this agent, the land agent, for Hawaiian homelands. Now, the conspiracy is, I go to the Attorney General, they bug me to go and get information, and they wanted to interview me, but as soon as I got hit upside the head and my house bombed, I'm told by the Attorney General's agent, oh, that won't fly, because he's not going to come in and admit that he wrote this statement, that he gave the land agent a bribe. But there were other issues, abuse of leases and giving leases out to Pasha,
right.
and letting Pasha have land to lease it to others while they were making the money and Hawaiian homelands were not making
the money. That's right. And you were investigating something that violated laws at the federal and the state level, and that was
yeah.
an illegal dump being operated on land on Hawaiian homelands that
yeah.
should have been land that people were building their homes on, not businesses operating an illegal dump. And so let me tell you this. If OHA had been doing its job, if
mm-hmm.
the trustees of the last 20 years had been doing their job, that land that you found yourself on one evening would have had nice little homes with picket fences on it and happy people living on the land,
mm-hmm.
being productive, and you would not have gotten beaten up for finding fraud, waste, and abuse. And OHA cannot say, morally, that's some other agency, because OHA is charged constitutionally with benefiting the welfare of Hawaiians and looking out for them and being the lead agency to care about that. And that's what I want to return OHA to.
Mm-hmm.
I want OHA to do its job And that's the reason I've thrown my hat into the ring to run for trustee at large in the November 8th election.
And this entire effort, there are so many broken pieces. You get in, do you have enough aspirins or Tylenol to understand? Because it's going to be a brain challenge. Because you're going. They're set to get and accomplish what they want. That's in motion. So are you prepared for this?
I'm absolutely, because I'm going to return the question on you and make sure you've got enough aspirin and Tylenol. Because Akina, if by the grace of God and the will of the voters, if Akina becomes trustee at large in Ohio, when people go to their ballot on November 8 and mark that, his bodyguard, Carol Cox, is going to be the one who needs the the aspirin and the Tylenol. But you know, on a more serious note, you're asking, what can be done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What can be done? Let's say the voters rise up and say, all right, we're going to get rid of the trustees who've been there for the last 20 years, and we're going to vote for someone fresh and new who's a watchdog. We're going to vote for Akina. When Akina gets in, he's only one of 9 trustees.
Right.
And so how can he affect change? What if 8 trustees gang up on one? Well, we've got very good news. As we've looked at the voting records of the trustees who are there, we know that there's a majority of 5. So if there are 9 trustees, 5 control the purse strings.
Right.
Five have been responsible for the wasting of $30 to $50 million on nationhood schemes and not spending it on the right purposes. If you change the 5, you can change the game completely. Right now, the voting records and the minutes of OHA together, if we analyze this, show that of the 9 trustees, 5 are in control, but there are at least 3 right now, at least 3 who are in the minority who don't want this scheme of race-based nationhood, who prefer that the money be used instead to take care of the real needs of Hawaiians for housing, jobs, education, and so forth. That's 3. If Akina gets in, that's 4. Now, what would make the 5th? There's one other OHA race I want to talk about.
Okay.
There are 2 races when you go to the polls on November the 8th. One is trustee at large, which is the statewide trustee. That's Akina running for that. But there's another race that everybody in the state can vote for also. It's called the Big Island trustee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might say, how come everybody gets to vote for it? Well, that's just the way it is. That keeps the incumbent in power. But the Big Island trustee, and there's a wonderful person running for it. She is a real fighter. She's going to change the system, too. And if she gets in, she'll vote to stop this race-based nationhood from OHA, and she'll vote against fraud, waste, and abuse. So you've got 3 minority trustees. Then you've got Akina. Then you've got this 5th person. In answer to your question, these 5 people can get in there and change OHA. We can reform it. Now, this person might surprise you. Her name is Mililani Trask. Mililani Trask and I may not agree on every single political issue. She's been a Hawaiian sovereignty activist. But I'll tell you this. She's absolutely committed to reforming OHA, to fighting the fraud, waste, and abuse, and to stopping OHA from its scheme of trying to become a country. And so the public can do real good if they vote for Akina and for Trask.
Mm-hmm.
And in answer to your question, that could create a majority in OHA that could utterly reform that powerful organization.
And just the mere structure and the what OHA can do now, what it has the authority, it is simply disruptive. It can be and crippling to the normal scheme of things and the function of state government. For example, where the Department of Health, Solid and Hazardous Waste and Environmental Services branch, is located at the end of Ward, near Fisherman's Wharf. Now, they will have to move. They're up in the air as to where they're going to go. They might have to move to Pearl City up in the mountains there in an old state building. But what is that going to do for the average citizen and the accessibility to the health department? Because OHA wants to build high-rises. And so are we really going to benefit in the money from the high-rises? Where is that money going to go? So you disrupt the health department. You inherit a building that's filled with asbestos and lead paints and what have you. And then what do? You cause the health department to have to, and the public safety, and all of those that are housed there, So is it really, does it complement state function?
Well, you've brought up a very interesting point. You're talking about the 31 acres that OHA now owns right at the doorstep of Kaka'ako, at the doorstep of Honolulu. And you're talking about the fact that the only development they've really done on that, other than opening a food court for trucks, that's right, has been to kick out one of its only lease-paying tenants in the state. And that's going to displace a valuable service for the state. Now, there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is this. OHA is trying to play the role of a private developer and trying to make a huge financial profit off of those 31 acres, and it does not have a rational plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, what it's doing is not in the interest of Hawaiians, and it's not in the interest of the public. And that's the problem. People may not realize that while we've not been watching the OHA trustees over the last 20 years, the organization has grown in terms of its land holdings, in terms of its finances, and it has become an organization that can obstruct progress for Hawaiians and for everyone in the state.
Mm-hmm.
It has the capacity to weigh in on any decision, virtually any decision in the state involving land, aina, air, sea, and people. Well, Carol, what else is there? And unfortunately, the way it weighs in is not to make the land, air, sea, and people better for the Hawaiians and mm-hmm. better for society and everybody, but rather it can obstruct. And you mentioned one down in Kaka'ako. We can mention another one as
right.
well, the 30-meter telescope.
TNT.
30-meter telescope, and I know that people have varying views of this, but this is a textbook study in how the Office of Hawaiian Affairs has duped the Hawaiian people and duped non-Hawaiians as well. Because the truth is that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, when the 30-meter telescope came to Hawaii and started its 9-year process of getting every permit, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs said, amen, we want this, because it comes with $1 million a year lease. That's
right.
Called kala, which is the Hawaiian word for kachink. You can hear the clinking of the money. So in a period of 9 years, the 30-meter telescope garnered every single permit, including the cultural sensitivity permit of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, and it was a big plus in the eyes of the Hawaii economy. It would bring in $1.4 billion of investment from six nations, the premier telescope on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. There would be jobs connected to it. Native Hawaiians would get scholarships. Native Hawaiians on the Big Island would get jobs. It was just a tremendous thing for Hawaii. But then, what happened? The day that the trucks were to roll up the hill and so forth, apparently some protesters show up. And we do not have the courage to enforce the law and the permits at that point and say, hey, this is a private road. Send a sheriff over there and stop that. Instead, it turned into an international fiasco. What's the story on the surface people saw? On the surface, in the media, over and over again, you saw this story. Native Hawaiians rise up and say, our sacred land is being desecrated, and therefore we want the telescope to go away. That's the story that was told on the surface. But that story was not the truth.
Mm-hmm. But it's brilliant, because the reality is, and that's the danger when you be so loose with other people's money, that eventually the people that did speak up are actually aware that their native lands are being squandered. The monies from those native lands are being squandered. So why not attach an argument or a protest to whatever that would get this and garner such a... to make such a statement? And I think that's what I believe, that that's why OHA should and other state agencies should operate on the up and up and be with
right.
integrity, because then it won't invite
right.
well, or present the opportunity to serve as distractions or whatever one may describe it as.
That's right. And in this process, when apparently or supposedly Native Hawaiians stood up and said, this land is sacred, we don't want the telescope, OHA used them. OHA, at the same time, continued to pursue the lease. and their bottom line position
mm-hmm.
in the by the end of the 2015-16 legislative position, this is on record, they were going to the legislature telling a different story than the media. The media was saying OHA is a Hawaiian agency. They want to protect the rights of Hawaiians to have that mountain for sacred religious purposes.
So that's
what a handful of Hawaiians bought from OHA, and OHA mm-hmm. used them. Because OHA was back at the legislature saying, we'll be glad to grant the permit for the 30-meter telescope and the lease if you'll simply raise the lease rent.
Amazing.
In other words, if they could get more money out of this, oh, we could look the other way. It's sacred land, but it's not that sacred. It's not so sacred that we would defy the god Kala.
Mm-hmm.
Ka-chink.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Two peoples should really be upset with OHA. Number one, if you're a native Hawaiian and you believed that the land was sacred and that the telescope shouldn't be there, then OHA sold you out. Because they used your protests in mm-hmm. order to get the opportunity to negotiate for the increase of the lease rent. It was all about OHA getting more money off the mountain, and if protesters got in the way, that was a negotiable. That is a breaking of the trust of people and a reason to throw the trustees out. But there's a second mm-hmm. reason. Everybody should be upset with OHA. Because if on the other side, you saw the economic benefit of having the world's greatest telescope come to Hawaii. You saw the jobs that would come. You saw the scholarships for Hawaiians. You saw the fact that was part of the Hawaiian relationship with nature to do mm-hmm. navigation and see the stars and so forth. We lost the telescope. We've lost the telescope because of OHA's playing around with this. So everybody loses. The native Hawaiians have lost, and OHA has sold them out. But non-native Hawaiians have lost an economic benefit. Do you remember when the super ferry was shut down?
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled to Singapore, to Hong Kong, to South Korea, and spoken to groups there. Businessmen tell me, we're not going to invest our money in Hawaii in anything except high-end real estate because your government can't protect any investment. Well, that was for the super ferry. When they tell the story of how we lost this $1.4 billion of investment in Hawaii in the TMT, it's going to give a black eye to the investment reputation of Hawaii. And that is a story of how OHA has brought something bad to Hawaii, and it's time to change mm-hmm. the trustees. That's why I'm telling people, vote for Akina.
Right.
Vote for Akina and vote for Trask to replace the old guard trustees and get rid of the fraud, waste, and abuse.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Dr. Kealii Akina, and he is the at-large candidate for OHA. And we're talking about OHA and what is it, race-based elections and proposals and what have you. But one of the things that bothers me about all of this is that we all talk about enhancing the economy of Hawaii. This is an island. The state consists of islands, and there's only so much to be had and developed, right? And so that being the case, those that are in Taiwan refusing to put the $1.2 billion or $6 billion development here, if we invite them all, and especially with OHA giving a pathway or clearing the pathway or HCDA, where will the native people live? I mean, that's the frightening part of this entire discussion or this that we see daily, is that there's only so much room on the ark.
Well,
and even though, and I'm not a religious man, but they say bring two of each, but someone says, but it'll be better if we brought eight of each. Well, the ark was only built for two of each to accompany that. So the islands are, and I think that's what's troublesome most of the times in all of this, the politics and the crookery and the skullduggery and all of that, is that we don't really sit back and quantify what it is that we're losing. Each boat that pulls ashore here, saying that it's bringing new lumber and to develop, means that we lose space and
That's
space
right.
and people. And before we go on, you as an OHAR trustee, what will you do? What kind of plans do you have to address the homelessness and issues? Because many are Hawaiians, and the most insulting thing there is that I witness is people in their own land. Now, not their race and all that, but that's why they call it Hawaii. It's a nation that existed and was, and the debate goes on and on who owns it and who is rightfully. But how do we explain $33 million being spent by OHA and the jiggling and the hand wrenching and what have you, and we see native people struggling, living out of shopping carts? Some can't even afford to get a shopping cart.
Carol, I'm glad you asked the question, what would I do about it if Akina is voted trustee at large in the Office of Hawaiian Affairs? Well, I will tell you this. There is more than enough land and money to meet the needs of every native Hawaiian and the other poor people here in the state of Hawaii. The problem is not the absence of land. It is not the absence of money. It is the fraud, waste, and abuse that our elected government officials, including trustees and OHA over the last 20 years, have perpetrated. Let me give you a comparison, a tale of two trusts or a tale of two cities. A very far-seeing businessman, Charles Reed Bishop, married a princess, Bernice Pauahi Bishop, mm-hmm. and started the Bishop Estate Trust, which has become the largest private landowner in the state and actually spawned the first Hawaiian bank. People know the great Kamehameha schools that are the result of that. Today, that is, in its cash assets, its portfolio only, that is a $10 billion trust. Its land value is even higher than that. That is the result of management, business acumen, and doing something to care for the native people.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, take a look at the assets that we've had publicly, the ceded lands, which were part of the royal kingdom, then given over to the government, the Hawaiian homelands. Over the last 80 years and more to 100 years, these assets have been mismanaged. They have been neglected. There has been fraud, waste, and abuse. And when OHA was created to play its role, it hasn't. So that to this day, we have problems. We have 27,000 Native Hawaiians waiting on the Hawaiian home list, with hundreds dying every year, mm-hmm. not because we don't have the land, not because we don't have the financial assets, but because we don't have leaders who will use honest methods and business practice, good business practices, to get that to the people. So number one, I'm going to stop the wasting of money if I have the opportunity to be a trustee at large in OHA.
Mm-hmm.
Stop OHA from spending its $30 to $50 million as it has on pursuing political schemes such as a race-based nation. Secondly, I'm going to see that money is instead spent on the mission of OHA to provide housing, jobs, education, and health care. That alone is what needs to be done, along with one other very important thing, a complete audit of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs for the last 20 years of its financial dealings, the conflicts of interests of its trustees, and so forth. We're going to have to shake it up, and we're not going to be able to let OHA do it. We're going to have to bring in an independent auditor from the state legislature to demand this and to insist that where criminal charges need to be brought and people held accountable, that will be so. And I believe we have a caller calling in.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. On the subject, who would put that into the process? A lawyer would, like you? Could you bring them to court and make them pay that money back, or what?
Well, thank you for your question, and let me respond to that. But first of all, I believe the question is, how would this happen? Is it a lawyer who will take them to court? What will it be done? Let me tell you what needs to be done. What needs to be done has to happen on all fronts. It has to happen on a legal front in terms of the willingness of people to sue, and any beneficiary of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, according to the Constitution, has the right to sue when criminal action has been taken by the trustees. That's in our laws. But more significantly, not just court, we have to get people to vote to change the old trustees, because there are 9 trustees, and 5 of them make a majority. We have a tremendous opportunity this election. If people will vote for Aquina and for Trask, that will add two trustees who will work with three of the minority trustees, create a new majority. The power of the majority of trustees, if people will go to the polls and vote for Aquina and Trask, is that they can stop the wasting of money on the political schemes.
Yeah, but why didn't you try to get rid of a number of than five guys, too?
Well, there are only two races this year. So we have to wait till for two more years to get rid of the others.
Let's step by step now. Let's take baby steps.
Yeah, well, but the good thing is that although there are two races, and that is the race that Trask is running in on the Big Island, and the race that Aquina is running in statewide. Aquina is running for trustee at large, and that's me. I'm Aquina, by the way. It's great news for people. If they will mark on their ballot, and everybody is a stakeholder in OHA, everybody can vote. It's on your ballot. If they will do that, the two of us will get in there, Aquina and Trask, and we will work with the three minority trustees, and that'll be five. And five of us will be able to stop the wasting of money and instead use that money to meet the needs of housing, jobs, education, and health care.
Can you bet on that?
I'm not only betting on it, I'm actually pouring my life into it.
Okay.
And sir, you can bet on it by making a campaign contribution to Mililani Trask or to Kaylee Aquina.
But the thing is, if you could do something, I could believe in you, but a lot of people have stood up like you and they've been smacked down, and that majority and that...
That's right.
...still rolls.
You know, you're
everything.
Right. You're absolutely right. If somebody does this on their own, they're going to get smacked down. They're going to be like Carol Cox wandering around on Hawaiian homelands, getting beat up and having his car firebombed. But if we will rise up as voters and realize that everyone can vote in the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, and you mark that ballot for Aquina and Trask, we will bring hundreds of thousands of people to bear upon this.
That one little change is going to make a difference.
That's not one little change. That's a massive change.
Like I said, I couldn't vote before like on that, but now we can.
That's right.
It could make a difference. We'll see. The numbers will prove it.
Absolutely. So, yeah. You know, let's get out there and prove it. Let's get out there and make it happen.
Whoever I talk to in the next couple of weeks, I'll mention your name, okay?
Aquina, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Thank you, sir. What's your first name, sir?
Bob.
Bob, thanks for calling. Aloha.
Well, thank you, Bob, for calling there. And 524-1080 is the number if you have questions for Dr. Aquina. And we'll be here for a while, and we're going to take a break in about 5 minutes. And are you up to staying with me for a bit? And
stay with you for a little while.
Okay.
I just appreciate that you're giving voice to Aquina, who is challenging the old guard trustees and running for trustee at large. And just want to remind everyone out there, OHA is everybody's business, and if we don't pay attention to it, it'll become everyone's problems. If you love Hawaiians or you love everyone in the state of Hawaii, then exercise your vote. Vote in the OHA election, which is on November 8th, right there when you get to choose between Hillary and Trump.
How do does when someone get in touch with your campaign, or how do they donate? And you also have a show on ThinkTech TV.
Right.
And give me, I lumped it all together.
Well,
but this...
anybody who wants to get a hold of Kaylee Aquina, that's me, Kaylee Aquina, just go to KaleeAquina.com, K-E-L-I-I Aquina, A-K-I-N-A, just KaleeAquina.com. That's my website. You can contact me. You can get articles on all of this information, publications. You can learn all about OHA, and you can support us. KaleeAquina.com, KaleeAquina.com. By the way, Carol, you mentioned that I do a show on Think Tech Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as it turns out, this coming Monday, I have a fabulous guest flying in all the way from Honolulu.
Uh-huh.
And that's at 2 o'clock. On Think Tech Hawaii, just look that up, Google that. You can see it live, thinktechhawaii.com. And my guest is Carol Cox.
All right.
Carol Cox, we're going to talk about fraud, waste, and abuse. Do you think we'll have enough to talk about?
Oh, we'll talk about our favorite subject, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, how, once again, another state agency defrauding the native people.
That's right. And if you don't have the time to tune in at 2 o'clock on Monday, it will be online at ThinkTech one word, thinktechhawaii.com, and it'll be played multiple times on Oceanic 16, Oceanic Cable 16.
And we'll talk about some of the agriculture development.
That's right.
That all these millions that have spent in this agriculture development corporation, and yet there's land laying for 3 years and didn't have a drop of water to farm. So we have quite a few things. But, again, why is it this way? Before I get off subject here, I wanted to say this. If you mention Kalii Akina.
Kalii.
Mention your name. It triggers some people. They're very verbose, and a lot of it is not that great. It's not flattering. But then I often ask them, but why don't you have the same amount of concern or dislike for OHA, for DLNR, for DHHL? They're the ones who's putting the screw to you now, and they are in control, and you see the population of homeless people increasing, representing a number of Native Hawaiians. Why don't we see the same kind of concern that they express when your name is mentioned? Why don't they get trouble and disturbed?
Well, part of the reason is people don't know. People mm-hmm. don't know the record of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs Trustees. They don't realize that the trustees of OHA haven't been helping the people of Hawaii. For the last 20 years, they've wasted $30 to $50 million on their political schemes. They don't know that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs paid to have a private auditing firm audit them and showed the trustees the results, and the results are being kept secret. The results have been leaked to a news source, and they show that this auditing firm told the trustees that they're so recklessly spending money on the Hawaiian Trust that within a few years it will disappear because they are overspending from the principal of the trust rather than the interest of the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried to go to get that through federal information processes. They absolutely refuse to show it. But anyone can go to Hawaii Free Press and see a smuggled-out copy of the PowerPoint that was given to the trustees. People don't know that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs has been using monies for political purposes rather than meeting the needs of housing, jobs, education, and the health care of Hawaiians. So that's one of the things we want to inform people. But we also want to inform people what Akina has been doing. Akina has been fighting to expose the fraud, waste, and abuse in OHA. Mm-hmm. Akina has taken OHA to court and won. Akina has done all of these things for the sake of preserving the benefits of the Native Hawaiian people and harmony in Hawaii.
Hold that thought right now, and we got two phone callers. Callers, if you want to hold on for the news break, we'll promise to get back to you, and I don't want to let this go. Thank you for joining. My guest is Kalii Akina, at-large candidate for OHA Trust. We'll be right back, and don't go away.
Going to Chicago. Sorry, but I can't take you. Going to Chicago. Sorry, but I can't take you. There's nothing in Chicago that a monkey woman can do.
Stay tuned for the second half of The Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM.
Good morning again and welcome back to The Carol Cox Show. I have a guest with me this morning, and it's Dr. Kali'i Akina, running for OHA trustee at large. And got a couple callers on here, and we'll take that up right quick. We don't want to keep you holding, and now we have. So we're going to take them in the order they came in. The board's lit up to its capacity, so we'll. Caller, thank you for being so patient. Go ahead with your comments.
Good question for Mr. Akina. Are you related to Frank Akina of Roosevelt High School in the 1940s, basketball player?
You know, unfortunately, I don't know. Akina is such a big name. I run into people whom I'm related to all the time. But sorry, I don't know Frank Akina. My dad, William K.C. Akina, went to Farrington at that time.
Yeah, you're breaking up, but you're not related to Frank, then.
I don't think so. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else, caller? Okay. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Yeah, Carol, I noticed the fellow there, he continued to use the word ceded lands in reference to the Hawaiian Kingdom lands. You know, that term has for some time now been discredited. It's been proven to be not true. There's no evidence of any cession, as the evidence of that would be a treaty of cession. So, yeah, is this man sleeping under a hole somewhere, or is he in denial? Which is it?
What? So that the listeners, this is about education. You're objecting to his use in reference that of ceded land. What should it be called in the place of that? What's the terminology so that we can all be on the same sheet?
Hawaiian national lands, or the crown and government lands of the Hawaiian Kingdom.
Okay. Well, aloha. Thank you very much, sir.
Aloha. I've got nothing to do with it.
I'll tell you this, sir. Aloha has everything to do with you and me.
It has nothing to do with it.
It has everything to do with you and me. Let me respond to you.
Let me respond to you, sir.
First of all, sir.
You need to educate yourself.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. I appreciate your call, and I'd love to respond.
No, you don't, because I speak the truth.
Well, I'm glad. Now, let me respond to you, sir.
No, hey.
Hold on now. Caller. Hold on now.
Response. We saw what's in your heart already.
Hold on.
Term ceded lands.
Hold on. Let
evidence
him.
Evidence yourself.
Now, if you're going to.
Creation of your occupational masters.
Okay, now, if you continue, I'm not going to tolerate it. So just, we can talk. You can stay on as long as you wish, but let him speak. All right?
Well, thank you. First of all, I thank you for your call, and I do appreciate it. So what we're going to do, Carol, is take the opportunity to respond. So we're going to say aloha to the line on you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And let me respond to you. First of all, you brought up an important point. A good deal of our population here in Hawaii sees the sovereignty of the Hawaiian nation as something that continues. Some others also believe that it was lost and are promoting the restoration of Hawaiian sovereignty.
It's not a matter of opinion.
And
it doesn't matter what some believe.
Well, it may be fact, but they also believe it. And all I want to point out is that there are people who take different positions. I'm not opposed to those positions. I think that there's a good amount of room for looking back at history and trying to understand what took place. But when it comes to the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, a good number of Hawaiian sovereignty activists, a good number of kingdom people have come around and supported my run for OHA. And let me tell you why. Because we agree with this, that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, in terms of its role as a state agency, using legal language like ceded lands and so forth, needs to be reformed. I'm not going to oppose you in terms of what you may hold in terms of your view of history, but I do want to say this. We need to come together around the future. We need to see that the monies that are under control right now by the state are not misused to oppose Hawaiians, that they're not abused, that they're not used for political schemes. Instead, bottom line, this is what I'm running for. I want to see that wealth and that money used for housing, for jobs, for education, for health care. Now, a good friend of mine, Mililani Trask, who is a strong advocate for the independence of a Hawaiian kingdom, is on board with the same position I have, that we can work together in OHA in order to stop the state of Hawaii and the federal government from perpetrating fraud, waste, and abuse that prevents Hawaiians from getting what they deserve. I believe most people here in this state want Hawaiians to get what they deserve. And so I'm a defender of Hawaiian beneficiaries in to receive the things that are due to them. But at the same time, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs is government. So there are terms like ceded lands that I'm not using in a historic sense, but I'm simply using it because when you walk into court or you go to the state legislature, that's the language that they use. And Hawaiians need to have people who can understand the history in the past, which you do, sir, and I do respect that tremendously. I respect you. But Hawaiians also need people who can walk into court and into the legislature like me and serve on a state board like OHA to advance our cause. So what I'm saying is this. Let's recognize that OHA is not about correcting a view of history. That is for everyone to do outside of OHA. But as long as OHA right now writes the checks and has its hands on the purse strings, Hawaiians need to have a watchdog in there. Hawaiians need to have somebody to see that that money is not wasted, that instead it goes to meet the real needs of Hawaiians and builds a future where we have the opportunity to self-determine and do the things that economic prosperity can bring. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call.
524-1080 is the number if you want to call, and I don't understand it why people would call up and engage in a conversation and spew what is on their mind, and then under the pretenses that it's a conversation.
Well, I actually appreciate that call because it allowed allowed the gentleman to express a position, and it allowed me to respond. And
yeah, but
I want to thank him for listening, as I believe he must be doing as well.
But I don't like suffering from jungle fever. I just don't like that. I mean, we got all kinds of time. It's an independent show. You can talk as long as you want to, but nothing comes out of turning to calling names and out speaking and raising the voice. It does nothing because still yet, if you really want to raise your voice, don't do it on the radio. Go out to Waianae, stand at the boat harbor and scream at the people driving by in Lexus and Mercedes-Benz and people that you see that are in the power, that are the state agencies and all. Yell at them. Don't yell at you.
Well, I have a question for this gentleman. He's faced, if he is a U.S. citizen, and if he is going to vote, and I'm not going to assume that that's the case, but if he is, and if other people are listening as well, they're faced with a choice on November 8th. Mm-hmm. They can have 20 years of continued policies in the Office of Hawaiian Affairs that waste millions of dollars while people who are Hawaiian go without. Mm-hmm. Or we can change that, and we can get someone in there who's going to fight. And I think that's what AKINA stands for. I believe TRASC stands for that as well.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
AKINA for you.
Aloha.
You're so catchy, I never knew who the heck you were, but there's no picture, right?
All right.
I'm a senior, and I come from the way back plantation when all the nanakuli, why not? Kids used to come to our school,
Aloha.
Our high school, and, you know, so I know what's going on, but everybody has their, I don't know, like the previous caller, every time I hear him too, but I don't understand that kind of stuff, but this is a different era, right? And I am making a change as a senior. I'm going to vote for everybody that is new, shall we say.
Oh,
you know,
Auntie. Thank you.
I'm glad. Carol, thank you for having him on your program.
Anytime.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm so happy that I did vote for you.
Oh.
No, I didn't know. I mean, I know all the same old, right?
Well, thank you so much, Auntie.
Yeah, and then now I feel very comfortable that now I can tell everybody about you.
Oh, I'm so honored.
Because I'm not of Hawaiian ancestry, but I have family members who have maybe 1/8 about, shall we say, you know. But I know, I mean, I've been here forever, so. But I was thinking, you mentioned Trask. I don't know, she was so controversial. And, you know, that's like kind of, I mean, she's nice and everything. I mean, she's a knowledgeable professor, blah, blah, blah. But she was like, when her time was, I really didn't, I wasn't keen on her. So I haven't voted for her since. But You mentioned her.
Yes, I did. And Auntie, first of all, let me say mahalo for calling. I appreciate it so very much, and thank you for voting Akina. Thank you for that jingle. That's right. That is our campaign jingle.
And, it is so catchy.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Now, I want to clarify one thing. You mentioned Professor Trask. Actually, that's not the person that we're talking about. That is the sister.
Oh.
There are two Trasks, sisters. There's Haunani K. Trask. She's the professor at the university. The one who is running for OHA from the Big Island is Mililani Trask. And we may not agree on everything, but I'll tell you, she's a wonderful lady, and she will do the following. If she gets into OHA, she will fight the fraud, the waste, and the abuse.
Okay,
she has aloha for the Hawaiian people. And she will definitely vote to stop spending on the politics and use that money for housing and jobs and education and health care. And so I've come to have a great deal of aloha for her. And we need to get good people in. There are two OHA races on November the 8th when people go to the election. And we want to encourage, tell your friends, for the at-large trustee, vote Akina. And for the Big Island trustee, vote Trask.
Okay.
Mahalo, Auntie.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Well,
thank you.
Yes, what a delightful call. And
524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call. But I just wished I could find out why the outrage when someone says, I want to get in and change. Well, I don't like you, but I'll stand here and watch my brothers and sisters starve to death. I'll look at the children suffering. I'll look at them going to the bathroom in buckets, and I won't do anything, and I don't have any protests. I won't call up. It's aloha brah. You know, that's why I love Muhammad Ali. He knew when to fight, but he also knew when to advocate. And he would beat you to pulp, you know, in the ring. But his heart, so he was able to dissect and define and draw a line. Okay, I'm in the ring today, but tomorrow there's some light here. I need to show some love for people. I need to speak out. I need to speak my heart. I don't really see that. I hear a lot of aloha in the preceding conversation, but I don't see it follow through because there should be an outrage. There should be protests every single day against the DLNR, the DHHL, OHA, and any other entities, state historic preservation, that squandered. And I know firsthand, they are defrauding the native people of everything. And in defrauding native people of their history, defrauds me because I live in a country that's free and supposedly advocate and respect all people.
That's right. You know, I think it's important to realize that we should be protesting and being angry about the people who have done the wrong over the last 20 years, the people who have not helped the Hawaiians. That's the group that we should be protesting, the existing trustees, not the ones who are challenging them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it turns out, whoever is challenging these existing trustees might not hold everybody's views. That you might disagree with them. But that's not a reason to attack them. I think it's very important for us in Hawaii to stand up and do what is right. And that's why Akina is running for OHA trustee at large.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, just another question. I didn't hear the first part, so I didn't get the bio of Mr. Akino. Akina, where were you born? In Hawaii, we ask you, what high school did you go to?
Well, actually, he was born in Mississippi.
What is your point on it? And I'll hang up and listen.
Mahalo. Thank you for asking about my background. I'm the son of two native Hawaiians, Hawaiian Chinese people, and basically our clan came together when a very smart Chinese boy back in plantation days in the 1800s came to Hawaii, work on a plantation. He did the most intelligent thing. He found a beautiful Hawaiian lady. And that's when Aching, that is our family name, Aching, started to be called Akina. Akina. So that's where we come from, and on my mother's side, Lupe Nui, which is Big Island, and Kau District, and so forth. So we have our roots here, Hawaiian Chinese family. I went to Kamehameha Schools. I'm so privileged to have been able to be a beneficiary of the Native Hawaiian Ali'i Trust. That's why I feel that they're so important. And then I went off to get a good education. I have to say my mother was responsible for that. She didn't even get a high school diploma, but she taught me what I needed to know and taught me how to get out there. So my parents scrimped and saved. I went to Northwestern University. I've had a great mainland education. I came back here, have earned my Ph.D. in philosophy. So I'm an academic Ph.D. I've taught in universities here, University of Hawaii, HPU, and Asia. I've been a visiting scholar at Peking University and have taught on human rights. And basically what I do today is two professions. For 30 years, I've been in Christian ministry. I am retired as the president of Youth for Christ, working with young people, 5 years of which I lived on the Waianae Coast working with thousands of Hawaiian teenagers. And my second career is the president of Hawaii's independent think tank that challenges the system. It's called the Grassroot Institute, and there we bring the best minds together to challenge the economics, the power structure, the social structure of society on behalf of the grassroots, mm-hmm. the ordinary people. That's what I do. And on top of that, in my spare time, I'm running to be trustee at large in the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. So thanks for the opportunity to share my bio. We've got another caller.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Yeah, thank you for the bio. it's top of the line. I'm sure to going to convince my family to vote for you. And we need people with quality, and you sound like you're there. I'm not sure about Trash Sisters, but... you got my vote. Thank you.
Mahalo. I appreciate that. And if you'll just tell people, they can get more information about me at keli'iakina.com. That's keli'iakina.com. And I always have to clarify, it's not Keali'i, because I don't sing as well as that guy does.
Yeah, and he's a singer, man.
But keli'iakina.com, and that tells where I stand on all of the issues.
Well, this is it's a difficult world to live in now, because you have so many examples that contradict. We all speak, and we want sustainability. We want what's equal rights. We want to be fair. We want to be equitable. We want to be respective of the quote host culture. And I try to find myself in this fog. There is no such thing in this present climate, because it's about getting and taking and getting and taking and manipulating. And at the end of the day, there are some round-eyed kids out there, big marbles in their faces, that are going hungry, fighting mosquitoes, living in filth, and we're debating. And if you want a ticket to go to the Big Island and participate in an OHA meeting or land board meeting, you're likely to be able, as a native Hawaiian, to go to the Hawaiian Affairs office and get a ticket to go over there. But ask them to adhere to what you say in your presentation, they ignore you.
Well, Carol, I think you're absolutely right. There's some fundamental things that need to be changed, and that is homelessness, that is joblessness, that is the struggle to fight and raise our children in a future that seems to be getting dimmer and dimmer. I don't think that we can all agree on everything, and I don't think we need to. And that's one of the beauties of being in the United States of America. We have the First Amendment, the freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And so even though there was a caller who called earlier who had different views, that's perfectly okay. I think that's what makes our country great. There will be some people who believe that there should be a sovereign Hawaiian nation. Some people who believe that American patriotism is the most important thing. Some people who believe the Democrats have the right answer. Some believe the Republicans have the right answer. Some people believe that there should be a rail. Some people believe there shouldn't be a rail. Mm-hmm. We're free to disagree, but the key thing is we have to learn to ehana kako. Ehana kako means let's work together on a few things that matter. And I think that we all agree we want the government to be honest rather than dishonest. We want the money not to be wasted but to be used to help people. We want to stand for justice rather than evil. And if people can join me on that narrow level, it's okay that we don't agree on everything else. Mm-hmm. On that narrow level of doing what is good and right for the Hawaiian people and all people of Hawaii, I'm asking people to join Akina, and on November 8th, vote Akina for OHA trustee at large.
If you could, well, I'll spare the listeners and let the callers call. It's Caller, thank you for going ahead with your comments or questions.
Yes, my name is Carol.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you for everything.
Aloha, good morning.
Where do you stand on sovereignty? Are you for Hawaiian sovereignty as a separate entity, or are you for being under the United States control?
That's a great question. Thank you for calling, and I'm delighted to tell you my thoughts about this. I'll give you two. My first thought is that we are in the United States in terms of the reality of today, and there is something called the First Amendment and the Declaration of Independence. The First Amendment says that people have the right to speak freely. They have the right to take a position. And the Declaration of Independence talks about the right of the people to oppose their government. I am a firm believer in the First Amendment. And so I defend the rights of protesters against the U.S. government. In my day job, I'm a watchdog of the U.S. government. But I also believe that there are other people who have views that may not be in agreement with everyone. There's some people who want to reestablish a sovereign Hawaiian government. There's some people who want to recognize that Hawaiian government never stopped being sovereign. My position on that is I respect their First Amendment right to protest, and that's fine. Now, my second answer is this. When it comes to the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, which is state government, it needs to keep its hands out of the game of trying to be a political entity that starts Hawaiian sovereignty. The most independence activists and Native Hawaiian sovereignty activists do not like the idea of the federal government creating a federally recognized Indian tribe out of Hawaiians and administering them through the Department of Interior. That has been the plan of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. They have spent over $30 million trying to pursue this federal recognition to create a tribe that will be connected with the Department of Interior. We've seen across the nation that that's a disastrous thing. We've seen that that doesn't ever get the money down to the people, but creates a class of wealthy administrators who get huge amounts of money from gambling and so forth. I have to point out that OHA is not everything, but it is the agency that could stop that from happening. And so my position is to oppose federal recognition of Hawaiians, turning them into a Native American Indian tribe. And I'm proud to say that there are people from all backgrounds who stand with me. There are people who oppose Hawaiian sovereignty who stand with me, but there are people who are pursuing Hawaiian sovereignty who stand with me. Mm-hmm. And so once again, just to summarize where I stand, number one, I believe that there's a First Amendment right of people out there to protest government and to promote Hawaiian sovereignty. There's also a First Amendment right for people to disagree with them. I hold the First Amendment. But when it comes to OHA, I will fight so that OHA does not waste money on federal recognition and trying to turn Hawaiians into an Indian tribe.
Okay, one second here. Caller, thank you for being so patient. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Aloha. I have a kind of a two or three related questions. And I
wonder
how you feel about the early 1800s Christian nationalist movement or the Christian dominionists with the idea of converting, infiltrating and converting people around the world to Christianity. And it's been reactivated, certainly, in recent years. And I wonder if you how you feel about that.
Well, I want to thank you for that. And I want to go back to the same kind of answer I gave earlier. I believe that one of the greatest assets we have in our land today is the Constitution of the United States and particularly the amendments that allow freedom of religion. And the government, as a result, is not to establish nor hinder the establishment of religion. It is not the role of government, and OHA is a government agency. It is not the role of government to favor one religion, but it is also not the role of government to oppose any religion. Therefore, as a public official in the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, I won't bring my personal religious views. I don't think somebody should hold a public office and promote religion or promote atheism. We have a right under our First Amendment as private citizens to practice religion. So I definitely would oppose the use of any government resources such as OHA to promote a religion or to oppose a religion.
Thank you.
I think you had another question.
Well, related to that, then, is the original Christian missionaries that came over to Hawaii, and you know, what did they say? They taught the Hawaiians to bow their head in prayer, and when they looked up, their land was gone. You know, that kind of, eventually, it didn't take long for some of the Hawaiian leaders to fall for that religion, and when they got rid of their gods, their nature gods, there went their nature.
You bring up
seas and their mountains. And
sure. You bring up an interesting point, and I'd like to make two responses to it, and thank you for that. First of all, I agree with you that when missionaries came, there was more than just sharing a religion that took place. There was also some level in which human beings, fallen human beings, including missionaries, mm-hmm. had self-interest. And so the acquisition of land and so forth took place. That's part of the history. But another part of the history is that some good things came about. A lot of philanthropy came about. A value system came about that many Hawaiians freely embraced as well. So it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's something that I think shouldn't prevent us from allowing Christianity to have a place in Hawaii and a historic place. But at the same time, as I mentioned before, we shouldn't have the government, like OHA, impose anything. But now I'd like to make a different comment. One of the courses I teach at Hawaii Pacific University as an adjunct professor is Hawaiian and Pacific philosophy. And we go through a timeline of what took place, and there's sometimes some confusion about this. Sometimes it's thought that the missionaries took away the religion of the Hawaiians. But what really happened was that in 1819, we had the Native Hawaiians, before the missionaries arrive, to repudiate the kapu system. And that was the fall of the Hawaiian religion and the gods. It wasn't until 1820, after that the missionaries arrived. And yes, the missionaries brought a value structure that filled that vacuum, but it wasn't the other way around. Sometimes people take the historical fiction of James Michener, Hawaii, and get the timeline wrong, that the missionaries came and that they burnt the heiau and chopped down the idols or the aumakua as well as and so forth. That's actually backward. I'm not saying this to defend. I'm not saying this to promote anything. I'm just trying to get the history right mm-hmm. as much as we can. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate that.
Anything else, caller?
Okay, she may not be there, but mahalo.
So, upon entry into the OHA trustee, what's in your plans for to bring back some of the Hawaiian interests, like putting the language back into the brochures? I see brochures that are everything, and they'll have Taiwanese or Chinese and Mandarin and Spanish or whatever, and you see no Hawaiian. Those little things, would they be, you believe they would encourage people and make the native people feel like, wait, we are, or will the practice be to exclude and continue to just ignore?
That's a great
question. You have any
question.
Plans? And I mean, these are
sure.
simple things and
yeah.
to some people, but to me, I like to be reminded of where I really am. I'm in Hawaii. I'm not in tourist land.
Well, you mentioned language, which is so important to a culture. But let me make it broader. Hawaiian culture, Hawaiian mm-hmm. dance, Hawaiian mm-hmm. song, Hawaiian ancient art of oli kahiko, of which I'm a practitioner, the Hawaiian olelo, the speaking of Hawaiian and so forth. All of these things are wonderful things, and I think we have to recognize if people live in Hawaii, we appreciate that. It doesn't matter where we came from and when our ancestors got here. There is a rich treasure we have in this sense of place, this aina, which involves everything from the language to the dance to the whole culture. I'm going to say something good about OHA itself first.
Mm-hmm.
OHA has done a very good job of promoting the culture, of recovering the culture. I remember back in the 1970s when I was a chanter for a hula halau and participated in Kani Kapila and other wonderful festivals and events, there was this revival of the Hawaiian culture. And I have to say that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs has done a good job in promoting that. Now, while I'm running for Office of Hawaiian Affairs, trustee at large, Akina is running because, unfortunately, OHA has done a bad job of meeting needs that Hawaiians have for housing, jobs, education, and health care, and has instead been wasting that money on political concerns. So we have to recognize why we have to get in and reform it. But I do want to address something. There's this myth that we Hawaiians are some isolated tribe that want to live off in a reservation and speak our language, wear our clothing, and the only thing we want to eat is taro that we stand in a field with mud up to our hips cultivating and so forth. This myth that we have to preserve, protect, and defend this lifestyle is used to raise money by OHA when we go to the legislature. It doesn't represent Native Hawaiians. In fact, OHA has done a huge amount of research and spent on surveys, $300,000 on a recent one, that shows that the Native Hawaiians are not pushing for this lifestyle. And I want to give you an example of something we've learned from other cultures. And that is the African-American culture in America for a while has, at one point, had some promoters and advocates who said, we need our own language, Ebonics. And we need this African-American speak. And so we want to the advancement of African-Americans will be to teach our children this language. The result was African-Americans stood up and rejected that. And they said, wait a minute, I want my kid to go to Harvard. I want my kid to learn English. I want my kid to succeed and be able
because
to
because the
to
world
make...
is... it's.
That's right. And it didn't mean they were saying we don't want our African-American or our African roots culture and our languages and so forth. It also meant that we're not one thing. We are many things. We're many cultures together, and we're not living off in a reservation in one culture. So I'm glad we can promote the Hawaiian culture and everyone can celebrate it, but let's understand that we also live in the 21st century with a blending of cultures.
But there's nothing more beautiful than a chant. And if you get away, do away with the culture, then you do away with the chant.
Absolutely.
And if you tell people that, well, it's not that important, and you don't assign an importance, a degree of importance, there goes the culture. But there,
my kumuhula taught me that. And she taught me the ancient art of kahiko chants, and it gave to me the treasury. And in those words that I just gave to you, she had an interpretation. She said it means, it matters not where you come from, whether near or far, for we have all come from a far place, ho'i o kahiki mai, to be here. And she told me, you know, Kili'i, the definition of a Hawaiian, and by the way, this is not a legal definition, but the definition of Hawaiian is people who've come together from a far place to live aloha together.
And respecting those that beat us.
That's
here.
Right. So, Carol, aloha to you, my fellow Hawaiian.
Aloha. Mahalo. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, let me talk to the Hawaiian. Have you ever read the book by Mr. Hawaii, sir?
You know, the sound just went off a little bit there. I wonder if Carol can lift the sound up and you could say that. Could you say it again, sir?
I said, have you ever read the book by Minsner called Hawaii?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, that's a book that I assigned once to my students at the university.
Oh, cool. You know where I'm coming from with that.
It was a 1950s period piece that had a wonderful, wonderful way of entertaining people about the history of Hawaii, but its history had several inaccuracies in it.
Oh, that's what I was asking. I'm going wrong way. This guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but maybe give him a few points he was wrong on.
Give him a few points that Mishner was wrong, was inaccurate, his portrayal of Hawaiians.
Well, you know, we have to understand that most of that came because Michener helped to promote a view of Hawaii which was rising at the time. I'll give you just one, for example. This hostility between Christianity and the Native Hawaiian culture did not exist when the missionaries came in. And yet, if you read it from Michener, you have these abusive East Coast Christian ministers coming to Hawaii, destroying the Hawaiian religion. The history is actually that the native Hawaiians had stopped the kapu system prior to the arrival of the missionaries, and they were looking for a new value structure. But in any case, you know, well, I'll tell you this, by the way. The second part of the book was made into a movie that I like called The Hawaiians. You've seen The Hawaiians with Charlton Heston.
Yeah, I see that. That's a good recommendation.
Good. Go watch The Hawaiians by Charlton Heston.
I got a lot of history out of it. I just don't want to be too tweaked and wrong.
Sure, that's right. But the Hawaii, there's the movie that was made out of Michener's book called Hawaii. The movie Hawaii, which everybody has seen. But if you can get a hold of it, it's really hard to get a hold of. Maybe it's on. I'm sure it's online somewhere. Yeah. The second movie, the sequel called The Hawaiians. It's delightful. It shows the history of how all the cultures in Hawaii, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Hawaiian, the Caucasian, how in the plantation days they created a culture that we call today the plate lunch culture, and we live together in harmony. There's also inaccuracy in that one, too, but it really shows the heartbeat of how the Hawaiians as native people open their hearts to races from all across the world. Thank you, sir, for your call.
Even in this book, I saw the generosity of the Hawaiian savagery could have been there, too.
Yes. I mean, the aloha spirit has been part of the Hawaiian culture.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the on that one, all right?
Aloha.
Thank you, Bob. 524-1080 is the number, 524-1080, if you have any questions or comments for Dr. Akina and myself. This is the Carol Cox Show. And again, he's running for a seat with OHA, the at-large trustee. He's a small stature physically, but it's the term at-large. It's bigger than life.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the callers, and I do want to do something my mother taught me, which is try to be a little humble in the sense that I really am not an expert in all of these wonderful areas that are being raised from history to culture and so forth. And I want to point out that what I'm doing in running for the Office of Hawaiian Affairs is a very narrow thing. I just want to get in there and reform this government agency so that it does what it's supposed to do. Akina wants to stop the wasteful spending on political things and see that the money that is spent by OHA solves the problems of housing, jobs, education, and health care. There will be many people who have greater expertise than me and different views than I do in these other areas.
Is there any mandate or any policies that connect these agencies? OHA must talk to DHHL. DHHL must talk to the State Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Health Department. Do they produce a yearly paper to speak specifically to the issues of homelessness? I mean, or are they just all out fighting on their own and squandering money or spending it? What are you going to do if it's broken?
Sure. There's a double-edged sword here. You talk about OHA and its relationship with other government agencies. And I'm going to mention that it's double-edged because there are two sides, and we have to navigate this correctly. On one side, there is the constitutional side that is in the Hawaii Revised Statutes that requires OHA to form and be part of a council that brings together the appropriate agencies, including the Hawaiian agencies, as well as other government agencies dealing with land and housing and so forth, mm-hmm. to be an advisory council to ensure that the outcomes are taking place. I'll have to tell you that that's a beautiful idea,
but it's not.
but it hasn't worked because basically the fact that you've got this council, an advisory council, and you know what commissions and councils don't do, they don't get the job done. We have had this now for 35 years, and it hasn't really resulted in anything other than some nice expensive lunches and trips to the neighbor island when it's held there. But the other side of this, so on one hand, we do want OHA working with other agencies to solve the problem, and that is in the actual Hawaii Revised Statutes, that they need to work with other agencies to advocate for Hawaii needs. But the downside, the opposite side of the sword, is they use that opportunity as a bully what do you call
club.
It? A club, in order to lobby for things that benefit the powers that be within OHA, whether it's land use, zoning, burial issues, things that deal with commerce and so forth. So there's something we have to pull back, and that is we have to restrain OHA from getting its fingers into every single area of life and governance in Hawaii to the disadvantage of the public.
That, and I never hear this publicly spoken or discussed, and this is why I'm seizing this opportunity. If the governor appoints the director of DHHL, Hawaiian Homeland, he appoints the director of the health department, he appoints the director of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, or chairperson.
Right. These are executive agencies.
Right. Now,
although DHHL has a certain autonomy, being also a federal entity.
Right. Being on the OI, the OI Office of Interior. But my question then is, what about OHA? Does the governor appoint the director or super chairman of that?
No, according to state law, OHA is not an agency of the administration, although it is a public administration and so forth. So some people have put it this way. It's as if we have a fourth branch of government out there. Now, there's been some hot contention over this. On one hand, the courts have made it very clear to OHA that they are a government agency, that they do have public monies and public accountability, and the ethics laws and so forth apply to them. But on the other hand, they're not appointed by the governor.
Right.
They're not directly under the administration, so they are a competitive voice, and they are lobbying and advocating for the interests, when they're doing what they're supposed to do, of the Native Hawaiian people. But unfortunately, because they have that little bit of autonomy, they become bullies to try to get their way in
or
everything
immunity.
From land use. Or immunity and so forth. Let me give you an example, Carol. OHA carries on independent activity with the federal government that bypasses our legislature and our governor. So recently, we had the expansion of the National Marine Reserve by President Obama. We quadrupled the amount of federal control over the Hawaiian Islands waters. The Hawaiian word for this is Papahanao Mokuakea. So in expanding this, OHA lobbied and got a position as a co-trustee with the federal government over this massive expansion of control of Hawaiian waters. Now, what that does is it means, quite apart from the will of the state, OHA will independently have control over all of this to a degree, not by itself. The federal government is involved, but to a degree that they get a preferential treatment as representing Hawaii, and their interests will be advanced beyond the overall interests of the state. And this is not good, because first of all, they're not advocating for Native Hawaiians, because in the process of approving this expansion of federal control, they have just run ramrod over the fishing rights of Native Hawaiians and small businesses.
So and don't forget, the National Marine Fisheries Service and Western Pacific Fisheries Council get millions and have gotten millions to enhance the fisheries for Native Hawaiians, and
that's
yet
right.
They've spent it on consultants for lawyers.
There you go.
Oh, it's a game. Aloha, brah.
And so then you actually bring up the real possibility now. Now that OHA has a seat as trustee over this massive increase of land grab by the federal government in the waters of Hawaii, I just tell people to look very carefully at who gets contracts to carry out things like taking care that dolphins don't get polluted, or everything that is involved with this marine monument is going to involve hundreds of millions of dollars of federal contracts. And it'll be very interesting to see whether OHA follows its modus operandi of being a place of cronyism, where contracts get given to people who have conflicts of interest.
And I want to know if they're going to have a boat or a ship where they take Native people and other people out to there, or will it be just for mainlanders with their children who are in PhD programs or science programs and get permits to come out and be the rich man's place?
Well, I'll tell you this. We live in the United States of America, where we believe that we should practice some form of democracy, some Republican democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, if you're sitting there wondering that, it's not your state legislator or your governor, nor your commitment to their political structure that's going to make a difference, because now OHA is the trustee, and if you can trust the OHA trustees based upon their trustworthiness in the last 35 years, then you're okay. But if you can't, you're
out of luck. This is why I raise that issue, because people don't realize how powerful and untethered OHA is.
That's right.
And when I say conspiracy, because there's a conspiracy on the part of others who has a welfare of the native people and the normal citizens that have no special needs or whatever. Guess what? They're not advocating or arguing that they need to change the system.
That's right.
They're
we
not.
Need to change.
You know, and those that come and take issue with you, and I think to myself, bruh, you could argue with a Kili'i all day long and win the argument, but you still haven't begun to take issue with the real culprits.
That's right.
And the structure. And that's what's so painful, watching this squabble. It's really not a squabble. It's a distraction, because at the end of the day, OHA got its hands, as you have pointed out, in the Marine Sanctuary. And I suspect, I've gotten information that the president will, in fact, be expanding the 200 miles around Palmyra and all. This thing is growing, you know. And if not that, because Nature Conservancy is involved with a lot of this and the history of that, they're trying to expand, and they have ownership along with Fish and Wildlife Service there.
That's right.
And who knows? It's likely to happen, but what I would like to say before we go, and I'll give you, and there's another call if you want to, I think we need to stand back and really look at what OHA really represents.
Absolutely.
And who it really represents.
Absolutely.
Because if the governor the governor can have all perfect plans, but unless he negotiate with OHA or cajole them or badger them or whatever is needed in these issues, nothing will ever get done.
A lot of times people ask, why should I vote in OHA if I'm not Native Hawaiian?
Mm-hmm.
And they do know that OHA is a government office and everyone can vote. It's on everyone's ballot on mm-hmm. November the 8th. And I hope they vote for Akina for trustee at large. But I think there are two things I'd like to say to that. Number one, if you care about the Hawaiians, Hawaiians need good people to vote.
Right.
Because the people who are in office, who've been elected by the general population, have been doing bad things and have not been doing enough for Hawaiians. If you care about Hawaiians, vote in OHA. Vote for the best trustees possible. But secondly, it doesn't matter what you feel about Hawaiians. You have to recognize that OHA will affect you, whoever you are. Every decision involved with land, air, sea, mineral rights, OHA weighs in on. And if you want to let this runaway agency control a huge part of your future and economy, then ignore it. But if you want to make a difference and see that good is done, then vote for trustees who are running. That's why Akina is running for trustee at large, to be a watchdog to see that OHA does good for Hawaii and for Hawaiians.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question quickly.
What is the stated mission of OHA?
The stated mission of OHA.
The OHA mission, as formed in 1978 at the Constitutional Convention, is to advance the conditions of Native Hawaiians. That's its number one mission. Thank you. And I think that what we need to do is to get OHA back on its track, advancing the conditions of Native Hawaiians, housing, jobs, education, health care. But we also need to make sure that OHA is not wasting that money and hurting the rest of society. And that's why everyone needs to vote
in
OHA.
It's such a, having so much autonomy and so much protection, and really doesn't have to commit to anything. What obligations are they? Do they have to DHHL or to the state itself when it's operating within immunity?
OHA has direct responsibility to advance the conditions of Native Hawaiians, but because it is also a state government agency, it comes under the laws of Hawaii, and its trustees have to work toward the betterment of the process of government as well and obey the laws of government.
What was the thinking behind having this situation as it is now, the way OHA is set up? What do you think the rationale was?
It was because as a state, in the Statehood Act of 1959, we acknowledged that resources had been set aside for the betterment of Native Hawaiians, which we use the technical term ceded lands, and we also have the Hawaiian homelands. But although Hawaiian homelands had an administrative body running it, the ceded lands benefit for Hawaiians didn't have an administrative body, and that's why OHA was set up, to take 20% of the revenues of the ceded lands and see that they are used for the advancement of Hawaiians. Now, if they had done that for the last 35 years, we would all be smiling today. We'd see Hawaiians having their needs met, and we would see OHA as a good partner with the rest of state government. Instead, we see Hawaiians' needs are not met, and OHA growing as this massive organization that is bringing harm to the state of Hawaii and the operation of our economy. And that's why we have to get new trustees in. And that's why Akina is running for trustee at large of OHA on November 8th.
So will you approach it as possibly consider bringing them into the fold or incorporating, changing the structure through...
Well, I stand for getting OHA to do the job it's supposed to do of using the money to take care of Hawaiians rather than political campaigns and concerns. And OHA can only do that properly by being a good neighbor to all other government agencies in the state and promoting the welfare of the state of Hawaii along with what it does.
And going off in the Hokulea and seeing it arrive at Newports, that's for some of the OHA people.
Now, you're talking about the junkets that OHA trustees have, and we've come to the end of the show. Great issue to raise in the last minute, Carol, and that's why I want to remind listeners that Carol Cox is one of the number one watchdogs in the state of Hawaii, and I appreciate you.
Well, we can't let this caller go home without asking this question. Hello, go ahead with your comments. I wouldn't dare not answer.
Thank you so much. Would one of the concerns of OHA be education vis-a-vis the poisoning of the farmland by Monsanto and fertilizers and all the chemicals that are being used? Is that something that could be under their educational branch or umbrella?
Well, agriculture and the best solutions for Hawaii, both at an industrial level as well as in terms of the native Hawaiian practice of lo'i, taro patches, fish ponds, and so forth, is something OHA should address. I would agree with you. And I think that we need to bring the best cultural and the best scientific knowledge to that. And thank you for your question. I'm sorry that we're out of time today.
We're all out of time, and I appreciate you calling, and we'll pick up again. And in closing, you got about a minute, and we'll get off here. Now, we'll be there tomorrow at 2 o'clock on your show, ThinkTech, live. And
that's right, and people can see that on thinktechhawaii.com. And I want to say aloha and mahalo to all the listeners. We don't all have to come from the same background and believe the same things, but there is a certain set of things we stand for. We want government to be good. We want the needs of Hawaiians to be met. We want an agency of the government to do good for everyone. That's what I stand for. Akina for trustee at large in the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. On November 8th or on your mail-in ballot, remember me. Akina for OHA, trustee at large.
Thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll see you next week.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K101.
next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.